We go local today on the catch up. We covered the 2015 bushfire inquiry. Day three happened yesterday. We got right into what happened there with Gavin Warnes, the main event, I believe. We also spoke about those Pink Lake residents who were against the tower being put up in Pink Lake. The Shire Council have delayed a decision on that. Also, much more, a few funny things. Who is funnier, as well as getting on the source? I do sometimes, maybe even during my radio show. Nah. Anyway, it happened to catch up. It's happening soon. Keep listening. Good one.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast.
I'm Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47. Triple M. We're approaching 20 minutes to 7. It is grey outside, so let's lift your spirits. Come along with me and jump into our favourite segment of the week. They're all my favourite, really. They're like child's. Children, even. All my segments. This is Who is Funnier. Basically, I'll tell a joke, and it might be funny, it might not be. You decide. But I've also got a comedian to compare against. This is Jim Gaffigan. I quite like this because it's a joke about cheese, and it kind of relates to my girlfriend a little bit.
I love cheese. I think I'm lactose intolerant, though, because last night I had 4 milkshakes, and I felt like crap. I think it's the lactose. If you are lactose intolerant, don't be ashamed just because your tummy can't handle that spicy milk. Do you have anything milder than milk? But not water, that gives me gas. Yeah.
See, I really like that by Jim Gaffigan because my girlfriend, she loves cheese. She eats cheese till she's about to explode with a massive cheese explosion. There'll be debris everywhere. That's not the joke, but that's just a little one I threw in there. But she's lactose intolerant, so she feels sick and she's sad, but she's so happy because she's had the cheese as well. It's simply hilarious and adorable. But I'm delaying. Let's get on to my joke, shall we? I think I'm onto a good one. This is a clever joke. What do you get when you cross a rhetorical question with a joke? That's it. That's the joke. Did you get it? Oh, boy. That was a serious flunk. Coming up under the line, no. The world's largest dinosaur footprint found on this day in 2017.
Hey, where we go?
Coming up, Triple M.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. And I love driving past the Bijou Theatre and seeing that wonderful little banner up. There's a production that is happening this weekend and next. And to talk to me about it, I have Barry Roth. He is the director of According to Rumour. And he joins me in studio. Barry, how are you?
Oh, very well. Thanks, Sean. Yourself?
I'm very well. I'm excited for this. So I've got my ticket for Friday night. I mean, it's only, a day away. Are you excited? Are you nervous? How's it all coming together?
Oh, very excited because this is a very modern play. Nobody's probably ever heard of it before, but it is absolutely hilarious and the cast that I've got are doing an amazing job.
All right. You said that not many people may know the plot or the premise, so go through it with us. What is According to Rumour all about?
Okay, basically it starts with this young fella, Carter, who wakes up in the morning with a huge hangover.
We've all been there, I think. Yeah. Relatable.
Yeah, after his divorce party.
Right.
And there's a scantily clad young lady running around the place, combined with a fridge full of about $50,000. So he doesn't know what's going on. But to add to his panic at this situation, his mother, who's a very domineering woman, decides to come and visit him with her helpers, which are twins.
Okay.
And her daughter. And her daughter just happens to have a detective as a husband. So, of course, with all this money in his fridge and the postie turns up, and it's just innuendo after innuendo. A bit like the British comedy, yes. You know, that's what British comedy does.
Yeah, and this play actually originates from Britain, from the hand of Robert Scott, and he actually contacted you after the riots and everything went down?
Yes, he did, and it's the first time that I know of that an overseas playwright's ever contacted the Bijou Theatre to say, thanks for buying my play, and if there's anything I can do, I will help you. We did tell him that whilst the play was set in England, it's modern day, it's now.
You've Australianised it a little bit, surely.
Yeah, we've Australianised it. Okay. So instead of them saying, blimey, it's crikey, and you know, and stuff like that.
It must make your job so easy as a director when you've got a cast who just gel together and who work so hard as well.
Well, they do. And one of the amazing things, Sean, is that the lead female role is done by someone who's never been on stage before.
Right.
She's a drama teacher, but she's never, ever been on stage. And she's taken to this thing like a duck to water. And she said to me the other day, she said, it's so much easier teaching drama than actually being on the stage. You know.
Yeah. Anyway, so Friday night is the first night. I have my ticket, which is in my hot little hand as we speak. And then there's also a Saturday night. So get in there for the opening weekend. It's going to be amazing. But then next week as well, you've got a handful of shows.
Yeah, yes. We've got Friday and Saturday night for 3 weeks running. And a Sunday matinee on the middle weekend. So the Sunday matinee, you know, is at 3:30. But if anybody wants to find any more about it, the Bijou's number is 0497 032 814. Or if someone just gives me a ring, you know, pretty well a lot of people around town know who Barry Roth is, so give me a bell and we'll point you in the right direction.
I've been speaking to Barry Roth. He is the director of According to Rumour, the latest production to come to the Bijou Theatre, a little gem on Dempster Street. Barry, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Sean. Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
The Young Rascals, it's 7:15 on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. And you would have seen the news doing the round surrounding the two One Nation party members who are in a bit of strife. One Nation heavyweight Steve Dixon and Pauline Hanson's chief of staff, James Ashby, have been caught out by Al Jazeera in an undercover operation. Basically, they went over to America. They approached the biggest gun lobby group in the world, the NRA, and said that they would try and change gun laws to weaken Australian gun laws if the NRA gave them some money. There were some really disturbing comments made. Basically, they said $10 million, $20 million, and you could buy all of the Australian Parliament. Now, in defence of this investigation, this report that came out on the ABC a couple nights ago, Steve Dixon has said, no, we were just joking around. We were on the source at the time, basically trying to effectively wipe away all guilt, saying he was on the source. The Chaser boys thought this was pretty funny. This is their take on it.
We all need our excuses.
Honey, sorry I'm late. I was busy sleeping with that guy from work. It took ages.
What?
No, but I was wasted.
Oh, well, that's fine then. Whether you're at work.
Oh, sorry, boss, for misfiring the nail gun. I just came from the pub.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Besides, you only hit the intern.
Ah, my eyeball! Ow!
Driving around town. Madam, are you aware that you're driving through a Westfield food court?
Oh, dear. Oh, I have just drunk a six-pack of UDLs, but...
Oh, well, that's all right then. On your way.
Or even meeting with foreign entities to subvert Australian democracy.
I'll be the first to admit, we got on the source, we'd had a few drinks, and that's where those discussions took place.
The source. Get on it, and you can get out of anything.
The Chaser boys there. Very, very funny stuff. And on a completely unrelated note, I want to mention that time I pulled my quad. Remember that at the Condi Fair? It was the Cougar Gift Sprint. I said I was going to win it, and then I basically injured my leg midway through the race. Well, it wasn't my fault. I'd had a couple beers before. I was on the source. Not my fault at all. Remember that time when I went on air and I was saying the F word and the C bomb? Well, that wasn't my fault either. I was on the source that time, you know? Like, you know, it's just all... Oh boy, what's this? Sorry, that's my Nokia 3315 phone. I'll just turn that off just there. Oh, that was my boss. That's weird. I wonder what he's called. Oh, just got a text message. Yeah, it's from Adam. He writes two things. When did you swear on air? You're not supposed to be drinking at work. Call me, Adam. Oh, boy. You know what? It'll be okay. I'll just say I'm on the sauce. He'll be fine with that, I am sure. Coming up for you, The Babies. This is a song from their 1977 Broken Heart record, and it's coming up next.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
It's Creedence Clearwater Revival on Sean for Breakfast. Desmond's is 7:47 Triple M. We've just ticked past 7:30. We're about 10 minutes into those school zones. So if you are anywhere near a school, drop down to 40 kilometres per hour. Now, if you are in the Pink Lake area and you're suffering from poor and crappy telephone service, well, it's not going to get better anytime soon. On the back of a petition signed by local residents, a decision on a new Telstra telephone tower has been delayed by the Esperance Shire at the Ordinary Council meeting on Tuesday. This is Natalie Bowman, the Deputy Shire President, speaking to the media.
In the past, when we've had our telecommunications infrastructure that's causing a little bit of community angst, we have actually invited the proponents before, being Telstra or whoever they are, to come and speak to the community, and that's what we felt we needed to do this time around. The questions that were coming from the community members were questions that we as council couldn't really answer, because it was to do with tower specifics and radiation impacts and those kind of things. So they also had questions like, could they put their infrastructure on a tower that's already there? Again, questions we as councillors can't answer. Let's ask the company.
As Natalie Bowman, the Deputy Shire President. So there were 32 signatures from residents in the Pink Lake area who were against this tower. They're worried about the radiation, as Natalie said in the media and the audio just then. They're also concerned about the aesthetics. This tower is going to be 40 metres high. It means very good reception, but might not be so good to look at. That meeting with Telstra will be decided upon in the next few days. I'll let you know when it will be, when I find out. Coming up for you, of course, some music. I mean, why not? Billy Joel's on the way. Also, the Pointer Sisters. Also, it's only one day before we give away tickets to the Byron Bay's Blues Fest, the 30th year anniversary of that historic and wonderful event. I'll give you some details on that soon on Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
Fleetwood Mac on Sean for breakfast. Testaments is 7:47 Triple M. We're approaching 10 minutes past 8 on this cloudy Thursday. And yesterday was day 3 of the 2015 Esperance bushfires inquest. This is basically looking at the four deaths that happened on November 17 around that Cascades fire. Yesterday, Gavin Warnes took to the stand. He was the area officer for DFES involved at the time. He was basically based in town making some tough calls. Will Carmody was the captain on the ground. They were basically speaking to each other quite consistently throughout all the events. Now, what was interesting about this was Gavin Warnes didn't have an easy day that day. Even the days leading up to it, he was fighting two fires. There was obviously that one to the east in Merivale and this Cascades fire. He basically said, as the days progressed, that Merivale fire was a priority. That's a quote from court. He also said it was a greater risk to life than Lake Benz. And this was despite other officers disagreeing with him. Tom Brown thought that the Lake Benz fire was a greater risk and wanted basically to move some resources from Merivale to Cascades. That was a difference in opinion. Gavin Warnes stayed true, and who knows, if the resources were moved, perhaps that Merivale fire could have gone out of hand. He did say Mr. Brown's difference of opinion with his was quite healthy. A healthy disagreement to have, as it levelled out the fire risk. This was all what was said in court yesterday. The days leading up to November 17, Gavin Warnes did say he had made multiple requests to his, basically his senior, asking for aerial support, more manpower and more heavy equipment. That request was passed on from Albany to Perth, where it went to state operations and the air desk. But basically, because of the number of fires in WA at the time, there was just no way there could be any resources moved down to Esperance. Now, Mr. Warnes, he did take to the stand for a few hours there, and towards the end of his testimony, things got a little bit emotional. I want to bring you what he said after Cold Chisel on Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
Cold Chisel and Sean for breakfast. Estimates is 7:47 Triple M. We're approaching 8:15. If you're driving around those school zones, drop down to 40 kilometres per hour. And right now, I'm covering day 3 of the 2015 Estimates bushfires in Quest. We've been speaking about Gavin Warnes. He was a DFES area officer at the time, and this man had a very busy day, November 17. He was battling two fires, one to the east in Merivale, and one obviously to the north in Cascades. He became the officer in charge just after midday for the Cascades fire, and that's when things really kicked off. That's when containment lines were jumped by the flames. And he said from there, I mean, things happened very, very quickly. By the time 4:30 rolled around and he'd heard the news of the devastation that had happened, he said he was in disbelief about how quickly it had spread. Later on that evening, he learnt of the deaths of the four tourist workers and, of course, of Kim, Freddie, Kerno. And he was distraught. He said in court, he was totally and utterly flattened at that point. 27 years in the service, almost 20 years in Esperance, gave up blood, sweat and tears protecting the community, and he basically voiced his regret at learning that people had passed away under his watch. Now, at the time, he actually had an unconfirmed report that there were 7 deaths. He actually excused himself from the operations at that stage and didn't even keep an eye on the news. For weeks, he thought it was 7 people that had passed away in that fire. Actually, it was only 4. I mean, still, 4 is still obviously tragic, but better than 7, I suppose. He did say at the end of his testimony, there were a few little things that they could have changed, but things probably would have ended up the same. And then in his final address to the crowd, including the families of Tom Butcher, who passed away in the fires, he said, "I'd like to pass on my condolences to those who were affected by the fire, families that lost their properties, and my sincere condolences to the loved ones who lost family members on that day." Day 4 continues today at 9 a.m. Local farmers who fought the fire as well as the Campbell family will be on the stand. I'll be there and I'll let you know what happens tomorrow on the show. Coming up for you, we've got Electric Light Orchestra and the Four Tops. We'll try and lift the mood, shall we, this Thursday morning on Triple M.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast. Feels good,
Mondo Rock on Sean for breakfast. Estimates is 7:47. Triple M, we're approaching 9 o'clock.
On Triple M Esperance, Sean answers all.
The segment's called Sean Answers All, and the topic this week is something that's quite close to my heart. I used to be a geotechnical engineer, and I used to work a lot on road design, and that's the topic today. We're talking about roads. And the basic road design that we use today was actually perfected by the Romans all those years ago. That was in the time of Caesars and aqueducts and things like that. And we still use the same basic design. To talk to me about roads, I have Dr. Roadsworth. That's a very apt name, I believe. He joins me on the phone. Doctor, how are you?
Oh, yes. Oh, hello. Oh, yeah, it's good to be on the program. Roads. Oh, they're wonderful little things, aren't they? Black and full of bitumen, they certainly are, and also a wonderful resting place for snakes and things. Hold on.
I recognise his voice. Is this Dr. Lovegood by any chance?
Yes, that's right.
What are you doing on the program? We banned you. What are you doing talking about roads?
I am also Dr. Roadsworth.
Hold on, you know nothing about roads, do you?
Well, I mean, I use the roads. I love the roads. Of course I do. I hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm the producer, announcer. I organise everything here. I don't know how I let that one through. We'll learn about roads more next week. or maybe the week after. I love roads, and it is actually quite fascinating. I've let you down, and I won't do it again. Do you know who won't let you down? Jared from Rural Focus. He's coming up very soon. Also, the day four of the 2015 bushfire inquiry is on again today. I'll be there intermittently. I'll bring you all that happens in those proceedings on tomorrow's show. I'll talk to you then. Have a great Thursday. Catch you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Sean for Breakfast Catch-Up on Triple M.
Bye-bye. Have a good time.
Listen to Sean for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.